Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Let's get straight to the docket. First, Naomi Irion. She's been located, and not in a good way. Second, this is an example of murder. If you're going to steal from your employer, go big. Take a look at this guy. Would you let him out of custody? Well, a sheriff's office in Texas let out 200 inmates by mistake. Oops. The dumbest hitman ever, and I mean this. And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. Hey, if you haven't done so already, hit the subscribe button, hit that little bell, leave me a comment, and remember, if you can't watch us, you can always listen to us anytime, not only this episode, but any previous episode we've ever done by simply downloading us on your favorite podcasting app. Just type in Crime Talk with Scott Reich. All right. Today is Thursday, March 31st, 2022, but a quick word from our sponsor before we open the record on the docket. Like many Americans, we got a dog during the pandemic. My quarantine dog, Miss Winnie the Bulldog. Now, Miss Winnie has grown accustomed to being around us all the time. When we were leaving the house, Winnie would have extreme anxiety, so we decided to look for natural products to help with her anxiety. We looked for the highest quality CBD treats, and we were not satisfied, and neither was Winnie. So we created a high-quality CBD product that absorbs faster and provides the required results faster. Baked in Colorado, CBD treats and beverage enhancers are made with nanotechnology. The nanotechnology makes the CBD extraction more pure, also allows for Baked in Colorado products to work faster. Baked in Colorado products can help reduce your pet's anxiety, ease joint pain, and help with your dog's skin problems. Go to our online store and see what Baked in Colorado product is best for your dog. When you order at bakedincolorado.com, enter code Winnie and receive 15% off your first order. We have a 30-day money-back guarantee. If your dog does not experience the desired results in 30 days, return the product and we will refund your money. No questions asked. All right, we are back. Let's get to the docket. First, Naomi Irion. She is a young lady missing in Nevada. Well, unfortunately, it's is not good news to report. The remains of the missing teenager, Naomi Irion, were discovered in a remote area of Nevada 17 days after she was abducted from a Walmart parking lot. Now, officials say they found the body at a gravesite in an undisclosed area after receiving a tip that led them to the rugged mountain location about 150 miles from where she was in fact abducted. Now, her body has been transported to the Washoe County Medical Examiner's Office for an autopsy, and the suspected kidnapper, now possibly suspected murderer, Troy Driver, he appeared in court yesterday where he was charged with first-degree kidnapping. Now, Mr. Driver is 41 years old, and he made his initial appearance in the Nevada jail via Zoom. His bond is set at $750,000. Hundreds of volunteers had joined in searches across the vast desert area over the past 2 weeks looking for Miss Irion. Now, the Churchill County and Lyon County Sheriff's Department, which has been working closely on Miss Irion's case, issued their condolences to her loved ones. And in a criminal complaint filed Wednesday, prosecutors alleged Mr. Driver did abduct Naomi Irion and did hold her or detain her for the purpose of committing sexual assault and or for the purpose of killing her. Now, the next court date is now set for April 12th to decide whether there's sufficient evidence for him to keep the case in court. We anticipate, more than likely, homicide charges will be filed as well, depending on the outcome of the autopsy, as well as any physical evidence that may link Mr. Driver to Miss Irion's death. Next on the docket, this is an example of murder. And the video that's been released clearly shows murder in the first degree. However, we can't show you that video. Okay, so we'll show you a couple of stills that are appropriate. They're not disturbing, because that's the way we do it. This is why you have to be so careful of your surroundings. Take a look at the photos. This shows a young man walking down the street in the Far Rockaway neighborhood in Queens, and he literally gets shot in the head by the man that he appears to be walking with. The killer simply raises the gun to Peter Panthier's head and fires point blank what appears to be at least twice, and then runs the opposite way as the victim collapses to the ground. Now, an ambulance crew arrived, took the victim to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. Mr. Panthier is from Dominica, and he lived with his family in Brooklyn and had no criminal history. He's only been in the U.S. for a year and a half studying economics. His family said they had no idea what Mr. Panthier was doing in the Far Rockaway neighborhood that night. He was a good kid, according to his grandfather, and he was actually a little bit of quiet, and he was struggling with some depression. A search is now underway for the suspect, who remains at large. Just a senseless act of violence where these two individuals are walking down the street and the other person just pulls the gun out. Like, are you kidding me? Like, come on. Just so senseless. Okay, if you're going to steal from your employer, go big. Let me give you Exhibit A. Jamie Petrone Cordington was able to steal, get this, $40 million from her employer. Well, who is her employer? Yale University. Maybe they're not so smart after all. Well, how did she do it? By buying, then reselling tablet computers over 10 years. She would place orders for iPad and Microsoft Surface Pros for the college that came in under $10,000. So orders for the IT equipment below that amount did not have to be approved by her supervisors. She repeated the scam thousands of times over an estimated 10 years and sold the tablets to an unidentified business in Long Island. Now, Miss Petrone Cordington, who blew all of the money on three mansions, five luxury cars, luxury vacations, designer handbags, and was finally busted by an anonymous tip made to Yale bosses about her theft antics. She did use some of the money stolen to buy a $580,000 home in Georgia in 2017. She purchased a Land Rover and also a mansion in Connecticut, all of which her husband of 19 years, James Cordington, would show off on his business Instagram. On his business Instagram, like the air quotes. He has not been charged in connection to his wife's scheme, although it's unclear exactly what her husband's business was that he had the business account. Apparently it was showing off all of the goodies that she was buying for him. Well, Miss Petrone Cordington also failed to pay taxes on those tens of millions of dollars she received from selling the stolen equipment, and she filed false federal tax returns from 2013 through 2016. In those tax years in which she falsely claimed as business expenses the cost of the stolen electronics, and she also failed to not file any federal returns from 2017 through 2020, which allegedly cost the United States Treasury $6.4 million. Yes, remember that, ladies and gentlemen, you have to pay taxes on the stolen money that you didn't pay income on. I know, crazy, isn't it? Even the government wants money on stolen money. Well, Miss Petrone Cordington now faces up to 23 years in prison if and when she is sentenced, and that'll be on June 29th. As part of her plea agreement, she's agreed to forfeit $560,000 that was seized from the Maziv Entertainment bank account. That's the husband's bank account because he was in the entertainment business. Along with six high-end vehicles, she also has agreed to sell three homes she owns and co-owns in Connecticut. And she still has to make restitution to Yale University and the government. Miss Petrone Cordington is currently free on $1 million bail pending her sentencing. If you're going to steal the money, go big. Okay, would you let this guy out of custody? Okay, I understand he's not the same guy, but I don't know. Just take a look at him. Would you let him out of custody? The parents of a four-year-old boy brutally killed by a 13-year-old nearly 30 years ago say that they can finally move on with their lives after their son's murder has been paroled. So back in August of 1993, Eric Smith lured four-year-old Derek into the woods in New York in a town called Savona, a small town about 100 miles southeast of Buffalo, and viciously bludgeoned him with rocks, strangled him, and then sexually abused his body with a stick. Seems like a nice young kid, huh? Well, Smith said that he'd been bullied by other kids for his bright red hair, and he took his anger out on Derek. Yeah, because he has no issues, right? Well, Smith was convicted of second-degree murder back in 1994 and was sentenced to 9 years to life in prison. And Doreen and Derek Robbie say that killer Eric Smith's freedom also means their own. Now they will no longer have to be reminded of their son's brutal death at parole hearings every 2 years. Very forgiving people they are indeed. Derek's parents opposed Smith's release each time he came before the parole board, which was every 2 years after he turned 21. Smith is now engaged to a woman that he has been corresponding with behind bars and hopes to pursue the American dream. Although Mr. Smith was eligible to be freed as early as last November, his release was delayed until February because it took 9 months to find him housing. Gee, I wonder why. Maybe people are a little worried about who may be living there? Well, Mr. Smith is now living in Queens, New York, and every August 2nd, no matter where they are, Doreen and Derek Robbie have a tradition of getting vanilla ice cream in their son's honor. Young Derek was on his way to play t-ball, apparently, that day, his favorite game, when his life was cut short by Mr. Smith. Now, in Savona, there's a ball field dedicated to their son's memory, and besides, it sits next to a statue of Derek in the batter stance. The plaque reads, "Dedicated to be a gentle reminder of what childhood is meant to be." Now, Mr. Smith has apologized to the Robbies and said that if he could switch places with Derek and take the grave for him to live, he would do it in a second. The apology has not been much comfort for the couple, though they still fear him, but they are trying to move on. Brutal case, and I get it. He was a young kid when he did this. He's been in custody for so long. He's probably institutionalized. This is as good as it's going to get, so to speak. And then this is one thing I'll never understand, okay? The guy's in jail, but yet he's engaged. He's in prison because the guy murdered a four-year-old kid and some woman is out there dating him. Okay, what is it about jail cells being an aphrodisiac? I don't get it. I do not get it. It's kind of like years ago when the crack crisis was going on. If you were a crack user, it was the ultimate fertility drug because if you used it, you undoubtedly got pregnant. I just don't get it. There's just some things that don't make sense, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure that comment will offend somebody, but hey, it's just an observation. Oops, we let go 200 inmates. Can you imagine being the sheriff when he has to tell that to everybody? Well, according to the Harris County Sheriff's Office, between 180 and 200 inmates in Harris County were summarily released because of a computer system issue. The computer system apparently went down on Thursday, March 24th, and the problem persisted throughout the weekend, resulting in the release of some inmates from the Joint Processing Center. A spokesperson by the name of Andy Cahan, he's the Victim Services Director for Crime Stoppers of the for Houston, explained that what caused the general release of so many people is the requirement that the defendants receive a probable cause hearing within 24 hours for a misdemeanor or 48 hours for a felony after arrest. According to Mr. Cahan, that person basically said, hey, we just cut loose close to 300 people because they weren't given their probable cause hearings in due time. He called the whole incident a huge embarrassment. Now, during the hours the system wasn't working, data needed to be approved or rejected, and charges against the person arrested weren't properly filed. And when hundreds of defendants, after sitting for hours in the processing center, didn't see a magistrate within 48 hours, they were released by a general order that was signed by the judge. Apparently, the judge's general order didn't have an exception when there's a computer glitch. Mr. Cahan said that all the defendants released were let go without any conditions. That's conditions on bond. And there's no ankle monitors. There's no GPS. There's no distance requirements. And we don't know who these offenders are. Most defendants were nonviolent, usually DUIs, indecent exposure, maybe street racing. But there were about a dozen with criminal histories that included several violent offenses. Computers are great, ladies and gentlemen, as long as they work. And when they go down, you have to be able to have a reliable backup paper system. That's why when I go to court, I do trials. Yes, we try to use the fancy stuff, but you always have your paper ready to go. Okay, you want to meet the dumbest hitman in American history, or at least to date? Meet this guy, Javon Carter. He filmed himself counting stacks of $100 bills that Florida prosecutors say were part of a payment for killing a woman by the name of LaShante Jones. Mr. Carter is accused of gunning down the single mother and TSA officer in front of her daughter at their Miami home back on May 3rd of 2021. Her three-year-old daughter was also injured during the shooting. Now, Mr. Carter was allegedly hired by Jasmine Martinez, who had a history of attacking the victim since 2016 when the victim dated her ex-boyfriend. Now, Martinez fraudulently obtained a PPP loan last year and used the funds to pay Carter and career criminal Romel Robinson to kill Miss LaShante Jones. Prosecutors say that Martinez hatched the plan to murder Miss Jones over a series of months via jailhouse phone calls with her then-boyfriend Kelly Nelson, which were recorded and used as key evidence. Jones and Martinez had a long-standing feud since 2016 when Martinez attacks Miss Jones because she was dating her ex-boyfriend, hence the reason they're exes. Well, the case was ultimately dropped. Miss Martinez was then arrested for attacking Jones in 2018 when an officer investigated an unrelated matter saw her punch Jones in the face. Police were able to connect Carter to the shooting after tracing his phone to the area where the murder took place and said that the same phone was traced to the same area for hour-long periods on the 2 hours leading up to the murder, suggesting that he was in fact scoping out Miss Jones's apartment. Martinez, Carter, and Robinson all face the death penalty if convicted. Well, this knucklehead should get it not only for, you know, killing somebody, but for being so stupid. They're arranging this over jailhouse phones. He is counting money so he can put it up and brag about it on his Facebook page. What have we told you? Don't live stream the crime scene. That includes confessions, you idiot. That guy is felony stupid and deserves to go to prison for the rest of his life. Now, our dumb criminal today, I just don't know if this guy has any redeeming qualities whatsoever. And I would hope that if his mother sees this guy, it would smack him up by the back of the head, pull his ear and said, I did not raise you to behave this way. I hope that would be the case. Well, take a look at this guy, our dumb criminal of the day, released by the Detroit Police Department, of a man relieving himself on a snack rack at a gas station after his credit card was declined. The clerk started filming the man then as he was peeing on the snacks as his two friends cheered him on and laughed at the clerk for recording the incident. The urinating man tells the clerk, "We gonna do the Macarena," referring to the popular song from the 90s, right? Well, the suspect then asked the clerk if the gas station was part of a Detroit program called Project Greenlight, in which cops monitor cameras at city businesses. Well, the Detroit police later confirmed that it was offering a $750 reward for information leading to the arrest of the urinating man and their two accomplices. Apparently, they are going to turn themselves in, but I'm telling you, look at this. I mean, and when this guy was leaving the store, he grabbed some of the snacks that he urinated on to take with him. Neanderthal? I don't know. How stupid could you be? Yeah. First of all, I'm going to make an idiot of myself urinating because your credit card's been declined. So you urinate on everything. And then you're going to grab the snacks that you urinated on to take and eat. My God, you are dumb, dumb, dumb. I hope you win. I hope you turn yourself in so we can get your name and we can broadcast your name so that the world can see and forever be held out there that you are the dumbest and most vile person in the world. Thanks for watching. That's all we have today on Crime Talk. We'll see you next time.